just welcome everyone to tonight's CCL training on local group actions to take on the monumental Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. I'm your host, Brett Cease, CCL's Volunteer Education and Engagement Coordinator, and I want to thank you personally for joining us. Let me tell you really quickly about our three esteemed speakers for tonight, and then I'll pass it over to them. First up, we'll have the wonderful Madeline Pera. She is CCL's Vice President of Programs, formerly Executive Director of the Wisconsin National Organization for Women. Madeline considers her top responsibility to be ensuring all of us, all 110,000 CCL supporters, have the tools and knowledge that we need to advance the enactment of fair, effective climate solutions. And with Madeline is T. Todd Elvins, who holds a PhD in engineering from UC San Diego, where he spent a decade teaming with Earth, ocean, and space scientists at their supercomputer center before 15 years in technology. With CCL, Todd's role includes supporting action teams, action tools and sheets, and grass tops engagement. And joining Todd and Madeline is Don Adu, a native of North Carolina and graduate of Appalachian State University. Don has spent the last decade advocating for renewable energy and action on climate change, founding CCL's first chapter in North Carolina in 2011, and currently managing the Southeast with over 40 active groups throughout the Carolinas, Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. A big handful to wrap your arms around, Don, there. Well, if we've done our job well, tonight, at the very end of our lesson, hopefully you'll be walking away with the following threefold learning goals. Understanding specific actions that everyone in your own groups can take to generate local and national support for the Energy Innovation Act. Describing the difference between actions to take this year compared to next year based on our legislation's pathway. And utilizing the new Energy Innovation website for endorsements and more. And to get us there, we have the following six agenda points. First, we're going to review actions around lobbying in Congress. We'll then discuss print and social media, as well as grass tops engagement, grassroots outreach, and chapter organizing, and then close with how to really handle criticism and some resources to back you up in that. But first, before I pass it to Don, just with a quick review, I'd like to just celebrate. Since our bill has dropped, volunteers have already done the following wonderful things. Almost 5,000 emails generated, 530 LTEs using our online action tool have been submitted, over 100 of those have been published, 6 editorials already endorsing the act, more than 10 op-eds have been published as well. CCL's bill on Facebook has already reached almost 55,000 people. There's been over 370 posts in our Energy Innovation Act Q&A forum. Keep those coming. And your donations to our year-end appeal have already generated 45% of our fundraising goal. Thank you all for all of this, and let's keep it up. I'll pass it to you, Don, to give us a little comparison about this year's and next year's goals.
Awesome. Thank you, Brett. So we've got a little difference between 2018 and 2019. So what's the difference? Right now, we have the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act of 2018. We're in the lame duck session of Congress, and the introduction of this bill really gives us an opportunity of setting the tone for the 116th Congress and making sure that we're having a conversation around carbon fee and dividend, and this act really setting the basis for what's going to take place in the new Congress. Now, in a few weeks, this Congress will recess. The 115th Congress will be no more. Right now, it's tentatively scheduled to end on December 13th, but it will certainly end before the end of December. When that happens, every bill that is still in Congress, both in the House and the Senate, will all dissolve. They all die. The slate is completely wiped clean, and we start again in 2019. So what does that mean for us moving forward into 2019? Well, it means we have to reintroduce the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, this one of 2019. And this is the case for all bills. Everything will start brand new in 2019, and we're no different. We're anticipating introduction to take place somewhere between the February and March timeframe. It is unlikely to be in January, so just want to set that up as an expectation that it will be in late winter, early spring before it is actually resubmitted. And our four remaining members of Congress that submitted the 2018 version have committed to reintroduction in 2019. So we are confident this will move forward. What does that mean for us? It means full steam ahead. We'll be focusing on getting more endorsements, co-sponsorships, publications, and doing presentations, tabling, and outreach. It'll really be a full court press to help move the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act through Congress in 2019. With that, let me turn it over to Madeline to talk a little bit about our lobbying efforts.
All right. Thank you, Brett. Yeah, first I'm going to talk about what constituents should say in all those emails or even phone calls that have been taking place. And then I'll talk about what our liaisons should focus on and also describe what that liaison role is. So if you're a constituent, here's the message from constituents. If you have a returning incumbent, a member of Congress who has been there already and is coming back next year, we want them to hear that lots of their constituents want them to support this legislation when it's reintroduced. It doesn't really matter whether you ask them to sponsor it now or not. The main thing is just to encourage them to support it. And you can also give that same message to your returning senators. And again, it's okay if you ask your senators now to consider introducing companion legislation in the next Congress, but it's not the primary thing, just the general message of support this legislation and look at what the House is doing will be just fine with senators. So the suggested message in our online tools that people are using is about supporting the bill. Now, suppose you have a retiring or defeated member of Congress in either the House or the Senate. Our suggested message to them is to ask them as a influential person in the community to support the legislation, both now and in the future. And then suppose you have a newly elected member of Congress. Well, as a constituent, you're probably not going to be able to reach them for a bit of time. They have to get their offices set up before they can get your emails. But what you can do is start collecting postcards or our constituent comment forms and ask all your friends and family and work with your chapter and collect a big pile of those to deliver to the office once they have that office. Okay. So let's talk about liaisons now. Although a lot of you on the call that are listening tonight probably aren't liaisons, it can be helpful to know what their role is and what their goals are. So liaisons are the point person for communicating with a member of Congress, right, or with their staff. You know, it can be confusing and time-consuming for DC staff to have a bunch of different CCL volunteers contacting them. Except through their constituent forms. And so we ask that every district have just one designated person to play that role, to be the point of contact. Sometimes that might mean there's one person for the DC congressional office and somebody else for the district office, and then they work together. It's also really important that liaisons work with the group, or if there's more than one group, with the groups in the district. Because, for example, say the liaison realizes that what the member of Congress needs is to hear from more constituents, then the liaison can work with the groups to make that happen. Or suppose they learn that the member of Congress really needs to hear from farmers in order to support the bill. Again, take that back to the groups and work together on it. So here's our current advice to liaisons. So first, we want our liaisons to remember that CCL staff trusts you and your group to know the best way to work with your congressional office. You're the ones that know them the best, and so we want you to start with wherever they are now and then work to strengthen their support or, in some cases, lessen their opposition. In a number of cases, talking with the aide about what they like and dislike in the legislation is going to be more productive than immediately asking them to support or sponsor it. So again, everything you've ever learned about working with them still applies, and we trust you to do what's needed. Here's a bit more specific advice, though. In the House, the liaison, we encourage you to talk with the aide that you usually work with about the bill and ask them to support it when it's introduced next year. You know, it's unlikely that they're going to be able to move fast enough to sponsor it in the lame duck because there's only a couple of weeks left. So I wouldn't worry about that and instead focus on getting them ready to support it next year. But suppose you happen to have a member of Congress who is very eager to sign on as a sponsor now in the next 2 weeks. So here's what to do in that case. If it's a Democrat, tell them to contact Ted Deutsch's staff. If it's a Republican, ask them to contact our CCL's legislative director, Danny Richter, and also go ahead and tell Danny that yourself. And just on the previous one, Ted Deutsch, he's our chief sponsor on the bill. So the Democrats go to the chief sponsor. The Republicans should go to Danny, our CCL staff. For liaisons who are working with senators, it's also a good idea to start talking with the aide now and tell them about the bill that's out in the House and that you'd like them to support a companion version of that next year in the next Congress. And if they would like to be part of drafting or introducing companion legislation in the Senate, whether Republican or Democratic, go ahead and let Danny Richter know that. Suppose your group is one that's working with a newly elected member of Congress. You can go ahead and start those conversations as early as you're able to connect with them. But again, it might be quite a while before they're ready because they're busy hiring staff and setting up those offices. But sometimes you might already have that relationship that lets you get started. So on to the media. This is a really important activity for us. The opinion pages of the newspapers are the place where we can get the most coverage of the bill being out and generate support for it in the community and actually get the attention of members of Congress. Because when you name a member of Congress in your media piece, their staff is going to notice that, because they have Google alerts out for their names in the media. Probably you won't get any of these, but if it should happen that national media, like a national reporter, comes and asks you for an interview or to comment on the bill, first go to our staffer, Flannery Winchester, and coordinate that with her. It might be that it's better for her to take that interview or she can coach you, but you and her can figure that out. That's not likely to happen. Mostly what we're going to do is work the opinion pages. So right when the bill dropped a week ago Tuesday, we put out a challenge to you all. Can you generate more letters to the editor than has ever happened in CCL's history in the period of a month? And our highest total previously was 420. And clearly we're well on the way to that with more than 100 letters published already and reported to us. And it, you know, the reports come in a little slower. So keep up that great work. Now, right now, there's a lot of climate stuff in the news because the COP is meeting in Poland. But once that dies down, you have other ways to get your letters in onto the opinion pages. You can use the holidays or New Year's resolutions or winter weather or the year in review stories that come out at the end of the year. And again, we can't count them if you don't report them, so please report them. I want to share with you a letter that was published in the Eau Claire Leader Telegram, written by CCL volunteer Stephen Reusser. He did a beautiful job of drawing on the classic holiday movie, It's a Wonderful Life, to link to his story. So here's what he wrote. The Christmas season means it's time for the Jimmy Stewart movie, It's a Wonderful Life. The warmth and love portrayed in the movie provide a nostalgic, deep down, good feeling year after year. There's a period in the movie where Jimmy Stewart sees the fate of Bedford Falls had he not been there to stop Mr. Potter. And the experience is enough to convince Stewart to stay alive and keep battling with renewed enthusiasm. If only we could see the future in a similar way, considering and believing the predictions of the 1,600-page National Climate Assessment. It's easy to imagine many sad gray scenes because of floods, droughts, hurricanes, rising sea levels, and fires. Should we trust the hundreds of scientists who have spent their careers researching the climate and environment, or trust Mr. Potter? We have a choice, as did the people of Bedford Falls. Do we invest in the future, such as with the recently introduced Energy and Carbon Dividend Act, or cash in as much as we can now to the detriment of future generations? If, like Stewart, we were able to walk in the future, perhaps there would be renewed enthusiasm for pursuing a reduction in carbon emissions. So that was just a beautiful job by Stephen in Eau Claire of taking advantage of what's on people's minds in a different way. Another thing that we've set a goal for is editorials. Now, editorials are where the editors of the paper write about the bill. Obviously, we want favorable writing about the bill and endorse it in their on their editorial page. We already, as I understand it, have 6 editorials that have been written, and our goal is 25. So requesting an editorial board meeting to talk about that with the editors and teach them about the bill is one of the recommended actions for December. If you can't get an editorial board meeting, but there was a national conference call, I will add that in response to the bullet point, for editorial writers. And the recording of that is on Community. So that's a resource you can also use with editorial writers as well as the media packet. All right, op-eds. If you can't get an editorial, you can ask your editors if they'll publish an op-ed from your group. And of course, you can also send them out in without asking. And then we have a local template for a local press release that you can use to announce to your local news reporters that your group has endorsed the bill. And that's another way for you to angle to get into the paper.
As Brett said, I'm Todd Elmans. I'm CCL's Action Coordinator. And I'm going to go over Grasscott's engagement in a universe where a bill has been introduced. Before we start, let's define the Grasscott's terminology that we're going to be using. An influencer is a prominent community leader or organization that is influential in the district and possibly has special influence on their members of Congress. A delegate is a CCL volunteer who is the primary point of contact for an influencer in the same way that a liaison is the primary point of contact to a congressional office. And an endorsement is an action that shows that an influencer supports the bill. It could be an op-ed in the newspaper, meeting with a member of Congress, a signed bill endorsement, or something else. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. So as you know, all the actions that CCL volunteers take fall within one of our 5 levers of political will. Here's an overview of how we pull the Grasscott's engagement lever of political will. Under this lever, CCL volunteers identify prominent community leaders and organizations that might provide endorsements. The volunteers next engage with an influencer, find out where they stand on climate, and discuss our solution. Similar to the way we develop long-term relationships with members of Congress, volunteers build trusting relationships with influencers. Once there's a relationship, volunteers determine with their influencers an action that shows support for the bill, and then they work with the influencer to take the action. We know from multiple sources that hearing from just a few influential members of the community on a policy can have an impact on a member of Congress taking a position on the policy. Now that the bill has been introduced, all of our Grasscott's engagement work is aimed at showing support for the bill. There's no need to get any more endorsements for carbon fee and dividend. To get ready to engage or re-engage with the influencers in your region, you need to be ready to talk about the bill in some detail. At our new bill endorsement website, energyinnovationact.org, and we'll look at that together in just a minute, you can learn CCL's 5 talking points about the bill and the 4 points on how it works. The 4th point on regulatory adjustment is a new topic, and that's the one that you're going to want to spend a little bit of extra time practicing. There's a list of frequently asked questions on the community bill page that you can use to get ready to answer questions from influencers. That bill page you probably know by now is cclusa.org/bill. You can also find on the community bill page a recording of Mark Reynolds' bill announcement call, which was a week ago Tuesday, and the recording of last week's CCU on legislation details. All right, so you're up to speed. You can describe the bill, you can describe how it works, and it's time to make 2 lists. On that first list is a bunch of influencers, all the influencers you know well, and will be enthusiastic about endorsing this bill, the one that's live now, and also coming back when the bill is reintroduced and also endorsing that bill in the next Congress. The second list you're going to want to make is for influencers who you will contact after the bill is reintroduced. And those are the ones that you probably don't know so well and maybe less enthusiastic about going to our endorsement site twice. So when you call, remember that meeting in person is better and more fun. And when you meet, take some time to further the relationship. Don't just jump right in and start telling them all about the bill. Get to know them a little bit. Maybe give your influencer a CCL update or ask some open-ended questions. Ask them what concerns they have about climate change, what local climate impacts they've seen, or how well they know their members of Congress. And then spend some time discussing the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, which you might describe as a template for the bill that will be reintroduced in the next Congress. Let them know that when the bill is reintroduced, it will have a different bill number and possibly might have some other changes. But we don't expect that the reintroduction of the bill that's reintroduced, will alter the main thrust of this bill's impact. So we want to remember that influencers can take many different actions to show support for the bill. And I mentioned this earlier. I know that for a long time we've put all of our attention on getting signed endorsements on a piece of paper, but there's lots of things that influencers can do in the district to show support. And some of those may be even more impactful to a member of Congress than bringing in signed endorsements. So when you engage with your influencers, determine with your influencer actions they can take to show district support for the bill. It might be attending a lobby or an editorial meeting. It could be issuing a press release, hosting a site visit where the member of Congress is invited and there's a photo op. It could be writing an op-ed. It could be presenting at a chamber meeting or a trade association meeting, or it could be engaging their colleagues in supporting the bill. As you know, the best ideas at CCL have always come from volunteers, and you will undoubtedly think of even more impactful ways that your influencers can show strong support for the bill in the district. When the bill is reintroduced, we're going to want to get lots of endorsements in every congressional district and state. As you make your list of potential engagements, be sure to move local elected officials to the top of the list. And there's at least three reasons for this. You're going to want to prioritize your local elected officials first, because they often run in the same circles with their members of Congress and may talk to them regularly. Second, climate change is impacting their jurisdiction today. And third, you elected them, so it's likely that they're going to take a meeting with you. The second type of engagements to prioritize are constituents who you think may have special influence on their members of Congress. For example, maybe you know the minister at your member of Congress's church. And of course, also prioritize other prominent community leaders, companies with lots of employees, such as hospitals, and professional business organizations, such as Chamber of Commerce. The CCL staff has created an all-new website dedicated to the bill and bill endorsements. It's up and running and public at energyinnovationact.org. At the website, which we'll see in just a minute, influencers can learn about the bill, see news about the bill, and fill out an endorsement web form. The website is only for bill endorsements. It's not for endorsements of carbon fee and dividend or climate action. As we start to accumulate a large number of endorsements for the reintroduced bill, we expect that volunteers will show the endorsements listed on the website to members of Congress, the media, the public, and our allies. So this website's going to serve multiple purposes as we go forward and the bill's reintroduced. So on the next slide, we're going to see the EnergyInnovationAct.org welcome screen. In the upper right corner, you can see how to navigate the bill website. There are three other pages besides this welcome screen. There's a page for how it works, there's a page for news about the bill, and then there's a page for endorsing the bill. You can see the top of our familiar five talking points kind of peeking at the bottom of the screen here. At the bottom of the screen, you can see our five talking points. As I said, the bill is effective, it's good for people, it's good for the economy, it's bipartisan, and it's revenue neutral. And then farther down on this page are some color photos of the bill co-sponsors. This is the How It Works page, which explains how the carbon fee drives down emissions and how the proceeds from the carbon fee are allocated back to households as a dividend. This page explains that the border carbon adjustment protects U.S. manufacturers and jobs and explains the regulatory adjustment. On the next slide, we're going to see the Endorse the Bill page, where influencers can select either I'm endorsing as an organization, or they can select I'm endorsing as a prominent individual. Those are the two choices. Our definition of a prominent individual is a person who represents a collection of other people. So a physician who is a sole proprietor working by himself or herself is not considered prominent by this definition, by our working definition. But a physician who leads a trade association or maybe employs a bunch of other doctors in a clinic, or maybe runs a hospital or a clinic in a hospital, is prominent by this definition. Influencers can fill in the web form with their particulars and click Submit Endorsement. Notice over here on the left that other types of constituents who are not an organization or a prominent individual are invited to go to the CCL website to support the bill in a number of other ways. In the very near future, a list of verified endorsements will appear on this website along with quotes from some of the influencers. What about resolutions? Resolutions are a special type of endorsement. So we initially focused mostly on municipal resolutions, and our list of types of resolutions is now up to five. We have municipal resolutions, county resolutions, state resolutions, school board resolutions, and faith-based resolutions endorsing. And of course, we're going to want all these different kinds of resolutions endorsing the reintroduced bill. And it's going to be, these will be important for showing strong support to your members of Congress. I could mention here that Bill Bray, who leads our Presbyterian Action Team, has just been making amazing progress going to the Presbyterian Church of the USA and securing a faith-based resolution for the bill. That's going along amazingly quickly. You have a couple of options for when to start working on these resolutions. You might want to start right now. And I've had emails from a number of people who are just going full speed ahead, and that's great. Just go ahead, go full speed ahead. But some other people might want to wait until the bill is reintroduced. If you do start now, knowing that it'll take a few months to get the resolution finalized and get it voted upon, be sure that the officials know that the resolution wording should be finalized and the vote should be taken after the bill is reintroduced. So that resolution is urging the U.S. Congress to enact the reintroduced bill. So in summary, our overarching goal is to show strong support for the reintroduced bill in every district and state. We want members of Congress to feel 100% confident that they will get lots of love from prominent community leaders when they co-sponsor and vote for the bill. Much of the slide content that we've seen here and much of what I've said, more details and a frequently asked question, are on our new Working with Influencers page on community. So if you go to community and you can search for working with influencers or get to this from the Bill site, it's linked from the Bill site. And then you can also post your, if you don't find your answer there, you can post your unanswered questions on the Bill forum if your question hasn't already been asked and answered. And that's also on community. And those questions are answered by staff, and you can expect an answer within a few hours. You can also send an email. If neither of those first two work, you can also send an email to endorse@citizensclimate.org.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about grassroots outreach and what we can be doing in our communities and in our chapters. I want to talk a little bit about organizational allies. What does this look like kind of going forward? How do we want to interact with our allied organizations? We're starting to slow down for the holidays, so this type of engagement you might want to hold off till the new year. Our CCL staffer, Stephanie Doyle, works directly with all the national organizations. So she's really working to build that relationship. So we really want you to focus on local chapters and groups in your state community for that type of endorsement. We ask you to please not to reach out independently to large organizations, to national organizations, without coordinating directly with Stephanie and getting the green light with her. If you do belong to another group, say like 350.org, the Sierra Club, or the Audubon Society, we need to be respectful of that staff. And, of course, those national staffers don't appreciate it when large numbers of CCL volunteers start lobbying them to support CFND. If you feel like you absolutely have to express yourself to a national organization that you belong to, please do so as a member of that organization, not as CCL. Remember, the most important thing is keeping our core values, appreciation, respect. And we want to be respectful of these organizations. And that means if it's a local organization, be respectful and work with them. If they're a national organization, please reach out to Stephanie Doyle. You can find her contact information on our website. Or if you'd like, you can always go through your state or regional coordinator as well. So what kind of opportunities do we have going into 2019? Well, I want to start by talking about tabling. What kind of tabling events, what does that look like with now that we actually have the Energy Innovation Act? Well, the first question that we usually get is where? Where can we table? Everywhere. Really, we want you to be thinking outside the box. I know a lot of you have done tabling events before. And so obviously places like, Earth Day, opportunities around that really make a lot of sense, right? They're a natural fit. We want to be thinking about a broader reach. Remember, the more diverse our organization, the more voices we bring to the table advocating for this, the stronger our support is and the easier it will be to move members of Congress on this bill. So think about farmers markets and cultural festivals. In Durham, we've had an opportunity to table for the last few years at the Latino Festival. And I've been out there, and I'll be honest, it was a little uncomfortable. It pushed me out of my comfort zone. But as Ellie Spark says, that's where the magic happens. And it's really true. And while I don't speak Spanish, and there were folks there who only spoke Spanish, I found that there were a lot of folks who spoke English as well. And so it really gave us a wonderful opportunity to have these discussions with people that we wouldn't normally run into in our everyday lives. State and county fairs are also a wonderful opportunity, and they're usually in more rural areas, which gives you an opportunity to connect with folks who may be opposed to this because they're on the right side of the spectrum. Conservatives are, again, a very important part of our diversity. We want to bring them in just as everybody else. So be creative. Think about where you can get out to, where you can be talking with folks. And it's really important because, again, the more voices we bring to the table on this, the stronger we are. And the faster we'll be able to move this bill through Congress. What other opportunities do we have in 2019? Well, another great opportunity is to do presentations. Where can you do presentations? You can do them at conferences. Other organizations are often looking for speakers. Organizations like the League of Women Voters, your faith organization. I had the opportunity to do a presentation today at Temple Beth Or in Raleigh. And it's really a wonderful chance to not only hear what folks think about the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, it gives you practice as well. City councils and those organizations that support city councils, things like environmental affairs boards, are also an excellent place to bring this to bring this idea and do these types of presentations. Again, it gives you practice and it opens up an opportunity for an endorsement too. Colleges and universities are wonderful, as are Rotary clubs and Kiwanis clubs. Now, when you go out there and you're doing these presentations, you're doing these tabling events, you get to have these great conversations. And of course, we want to make sure that we're capturing the information of folks who might want to get involved with CCL. Those sign-up sheets are really important. Most importantly of all of this is the follow-up. That is the real key. Because I know that when I first started doing this, I thought, well, if somebody signed up at a tabling event, that they would always be interested in CCL. I quickly found that, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, CCL sounds like something people really want to get into. But 2 weeks later, you know, life has taken hold and it can be real easy to get distracted. So we want to make sure that we're engaging people as soon as possible. You know, follow up with those folks within a day or two. It really makes a big difference. You'll find that more people will become engaged. You'll get more folks into your chapter if you're able to follow up quickly, provide them with information about joining CCL, along with information about when your chapter meets and where they meet. You'll see a much better return on the types of outreach and engagement you do, and that will in turn lead to more volunteers and more outreach that you can do in your community. What other chapter activities do we have as opportunities going forward in the new year? Well, let's start with what we can do at the end of this year. There's probably going to be a large activation of new folks in your upcoming meeting this weekend, folks who maybe have dropped off or not been as engaged. Not only is the election over, which has, I know, been a big focus for a lot of folks, the introduction of the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act is also going to really energize folks. So make sure that you're really welcoming both to your new members and your members who are coming back who maybe you haven't seen in a while. That's really going to set the stage for a positive meeting and a positive working relationship going forward. What else do we want to focus on? Well, to echo what Madeline talked about, we really want to focus on those publications. Write those LTEs, write those op-eds. We have an opportunity to set the conversation, really, and these are in our own communities. These LTEs, op-eds, and editorials, even better, give an opportunity to move this legislation in terms of the public's opinion. And when we know that members of Congress pay attention to what's being published, so it's really a wonderful thing for us to focus on at the end of the year. And finally, endorsements. Just to echo what Todd said, endorsements are not only going to give us the ability to introduce with more co-sponsors in 2019, it also will give us the opportunity to move forward in a constructive way in communities, both businesses and organizational communities. So what does it look like when you're getting an endorsement? Well, you want to look at prominent individuals in your community and also businesses. Businesses are great. And, you know, we think about business as kind of these, you know, big corporations. Well, in reality, most of the businesses you interact with are local. You know, I think there is no business too small to endorse the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. And they're the easiest to go for, too. I'll give you an example of some of the folks that I've gotten to endorse CFND so far, and I'll be going back to get support for the Energy Innovation Act. My dentist she is the head of a group of dentists, and she has endorsed this. My hairdresser has endorsed us. My HVAC company, Indoor Air Quality, has endorsed us. And my tree care company, Leaf and Limb. Oh, these are all organizations that are all businesses that, you know, I have a personal connection to. And because they're small, getting to the business owner is really easy. And what's really cool is we're a nonprofit, But we're not asking them for money. We're only asking for their voice. And so it really is it's an easier sell than you would think. Now, if you want to go big, as there are a lot of big companies out there, and we do want their support as well. But if you want to go big, talk to your state coordinator or regional coordinator to make sure we're coordinating across the nation. And so what we don't want is, of course, folks from every state talking to like Lowe's or Home Depot and asking them to support. We want to make sure we do it in a coordinated way. And when you do have a business that's ready to sign on, send them to the EnergyInnovationAct.org website where they can log their information. We can keep track of it and make it a public endorsement. Those are some opportunities that we've got going forward.
As you get out in the community, you are going to find a lot of support, and sometimes you're going to find people who are unhappy with parts of it, or maybe all. Our organization, our communities, our country, we're blessed with diversity, including a diversity of opinions. So really also a big part of politics is compromise. The art of compromise is needed so that you can get legislation passed, because you have to have enough people to vote for it. So that really means that it's inevitable that parts of the bill are not going to appeal to some people. It's tempting to be just mad about that sometimes, we need to get past that, and we can. So this will give you some advice. Because being mad's not the CCL way, is it? Being respectful and persistent with integrity is our way. Okay, so what does doing that look like in regard to this bill? Well, first of all, find a way to deal with your own emotions if you need to. Find a place to vent if that's what you need, but do that privately. But another thing that I found really useful to do is to try to get into the mind of the person that's disagreeing with you. So let's use a case study here for this. You may have bumped already into a few left of center people who dislike the provision of the bill that deals with suspending regulation of greenhouse gases. So one place to start in preparing yourself, again, is to look at that through the eyes of people that disagree with you. And there's an exercise that can really help in moving out of blaming other people. It's just very simply to make a list of everything you can think of for why somebody would object, in this case, object to restricting regulations. So here's some I came up with. They aren't aware of how strong the bill really is. They're upset that Obama-era regulations are being rolled back. In other situations, regulations have been effective at achieving change. They're very worried about the climate and don't want to risk losing any avenue to reduce emissions. They don't trust the government or Republicans to legislate well or fairly. Or maybe they have friends that they care about or new sources that they respect who believe that regulations are essential. So when I do that, when I look through their eyes, it really helps my frustration diminish, and it helps me think about this as a problem-solving situation rather than what's wrong with somebody. So the second thing I want you to think about is to consider the context in which the conversation is taking place. And I think really the key thing is, are you talking with one person or are you talking with a group of people? In both cases, it's really, as you know from our CCL training, helpful to have a start with an appreciation, and especially to appreciate common values that you can find. So it might sound like, thank you for that question. I can tell that solving climate is in the most effective way is important to you, and I share your urgency. Well, let's talk about in a one-on-one situation. In that case, you have freedom to interact in a way that you don't with an audience. With an individual, the best thing to do is to slow way down and draw them out some more so that you understand their values and motivations and their point of view, and have shown them that you understand them by reflecting back to them what you're hearing. Once they know that they've been heard, then you can move towards sharing information. And the best way to make that transition is to literally ask, "Would you like to hear what I think? For example, would you like to hear what I think about that provision of the bill?" And if they say no or start telling you a bunch more stuff, then you know they're not ready. But if your timing was right, they'll say yes, or they might even have spontaneously asked you what you think. So if you want to improve your one-on-one communication skills this way, then check out the Effective Communication Action Team. That Action Team's monthly webinar is next week on Wednesday, and we'll be practicing exactly these skills for dealing with pushback on the legislation. All right, so this approach doesn't work well in an audience situation. In that situation, you need to move pretty quickly from your opening appreciation to providing information, and you need to keep it simple. So unless you're speaking to a group of policy experts, you know, if you get all wonky on them, most of your audience is going to shut down and stop listening. So I suggest you lead with our high-level messaging and then have a few supporting points and then restate the high-level message. So what are those high-level messaging points? I keep practicing them every chance. Effective, good for people, creates jobs, bipartisan, and revenue neutral. So let's try this. Imagine I'm making a presentation to a liberal church, and someone there says, I don't like the notion of a bill that limits regulations, so I can't support this. I'm going to respond using an appreciation, and then two of our high-level messaging points, bipartisan and effective. So here's what that might sound like. Thank you for sharing that. It's important to have a lot of tools available to us to bring down emissions. Our regulations can and have been very useful. So I appreciate your concern about that part of the bill. Let me tell you how I deal with this, and then you can decide for yourself what makes sense for you. The Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act is a bipartisan bill, and that's important to me because I personally think we need support from both major parties in order to pass and keep important, significant legislation. So the provision dealing with regulatory authority is the result of a compromise among the Democratic and Republican members of Congress sponsoring the bill. The reason I'm okay with this compromise enabling bipartisan support is that the bill's very strong in other areas. This law is so effective that it will accomplish in 3 to 4 years the emissions reductions that would have taken the Clean Power Plan 15 years to achieve if it wasn't abandoned by the present administration. I'd rather fight for a strong law than a regulatory approach that accomplishes less. Citizens Climate Lobby supports this bill because it's the strongest proposal in a decade for carbon pricing and has bipartisan support. Okay, so that might have been a bit of a long answer. You wouldn't want to deal with any more high-level messaging than one or two points there. But again, appreciate high-level messaging, a little bit of support, and then restate that. So to summarize, ahead of time, get your emotions out of the way, list possible reasons why someone might disagree with you, and then practice succinct talking points. In the one-on-one, listen, draw them out, acknowledge what they're saying, then ask permission to share their perspective, and then share briefly and ask them what they think about that. In a presentation, connect with your audience first by acknowledging shared values. If you're responding to a question, appreciate the intent or the values of the listener first, of the questioner first, and then respond with the high-level message that you want them to remember. And then add a supplemental point or two, and don't get too complicated.
At this point, if you do have any questions after tonight's webinar, here's our contact information. We'd love to be in touch with all of you. We hope that you found tonight's webinar useful. And what I'd love to do is close us with a reminder of where we've been. So not too long ago, it was fact only about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, that some of us were in D.C. at a reception where Representative Deutsch himself gave an electrifying speech after our lobby day that year. And we thought that you might enjoy hearing his words again tonight after this first most momentous week to galvanize and support moving forward on this wonderful, wonderful news to celebrate, everyone.
It is through your hard work that we've been able to bring members together from both sides of the aisle. We've been able to change the conversation from burden to opportunity, and from fear to hope, and from obstruction to action. Our work so far and our plans to make climate solutions a priority in Congress are wholly dependent, and I feel really good about what I'm about to say given what I've seen so far. Our success is wholly dependent on your energy, your passion, and your commitment. It is only through your continued effort that this caucus and our nation can meet the many challenges that climate change presents. I look forward to joining you in that effort. I look forward to expanding this movement. I look forward to showing that the United States Congress is not broken beyond repair. I look forward to turning climate solutions into law and policy that will drive a sustainable future for us, for our future, and for our planet.
Oh, thank you, everybody.
Awesome.
Good night, everybody.
Excellent.
Good job.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.